name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In our passage from this morning's Gospel according to Luke, there are actually three characters involved. Two of them we're very familiar with. They're very easily picked out, aren't they? We have the Pharisee, who we very quickly will label as the bad person in this story, the self-righteous one, which I don't think is really fair. I mean, after all, isn't he just doing what he was supposed to do? In fact, he's overdoing it. We hear that. He says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. He fasts twice a week. That's extreme. In any practice of Judaism, to be fasting twice a week is over and above. He's giving a tenth of his income. He's thanking God for his life that is not marked with sin, or at least not clearly marked with sin. And he's doing this before God. But we immediately contrast him with the other character, the tax collector. And being that he is a tax collector, we kind of skip that a little bit, don't we? We go right to the way in which he's pouring himself out to God. And we say, well, look at him. Now, look how amazing he is. He was actually the worst as a person. I mean, here he was, a tax collector and a Jew. Not only was he the man who was collecting the money for Rome, he was doing that among his own people as one who should not have been acknowledging the fact that the emperor considered himself to be God. He was so outside of it, he should have never even been recognized. I'm surprised they let him come anywhere near them. I mean, he was a mess. But there seems to be a bit of a difference between them and the way in which they pray. The Pharisee stood before God and thanked God that he wasn't like other people. Well, that immediately doesn't sit well with us, does it? And then he said all that he did, which was everything he was told to do by Scripture. And then we have the tax collector standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says the strangest thing, like he will often do. He says things that sound backwards. Here is the Pharisee that's doing everything that he said that he should do, that he's told he should do by the law, and there he is. He's doing it. He's thanking God that he's been able to do it in some fashion. And then the tax collector, the worst of the worst, a Jewish tax collector, and Jesus says this, I tell you this, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. Well, that doesn't even make sense in the setting, does it? The Pharisee should have been the one who was acknowledged. He was doing exactly what he was supposed to do. And Jesus says, no, it was this one. This man, the tax collector, the Jewish tax collector. Have mercy on me, a sinner. And he adds this little piece. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. But I said there were three characters, didn't I? Verse 9. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves. Third characters. Trusted in themselves. I find this translation of trusted a little light, to be honest with you. There's other ways that Greek word could be translated. It could say, he also told this parable to some who relied on themselves. Or it could say, some who were confident in themselves. Third character in the story is us. What are we hearing from Jesus today? What are we hearing him say when he tells this parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee coming before God? And I think very easily we can put ourselves outside of the realm of the story, because we're neither a Pharisee or a tax, well, maybe you are a tax collector technically, but in a different setting. But we can step out of it pretty easily if we forget the context of what is happening with these two men in the parable. This is not a public thing that is happening. What we're hearing is going on within them, between themselves and God. If we were standing there watching, we would see two men praying. That's all we would know. See, what's happening is we are getting a glimpse through this parable. Jesus is giving a glimpse of the internal battle that we all face. What's happening here? We asked ourselves this question on Wednesday night. What's the difference between the two men in the parable? See, because it's important for us as the third characters in this story to see what the difference might be. Which one are we? And of course, we're Anglicans, so we're going to go, well, sometimes I'm the Pharisee and sometimes I'm the tax collector, because that's what good Anglicans do. Amen? We just pick that middle road because, well, it's pretty safe in the middle. You know, that's what we do. We do it everywhere. We're too Protestant to be Catholic, too Catholic to be Protestant. You know it. So we often look at that and go, well, and you know what? That might be true. But at some point, we get down to the very depth of our soul, and we're either one or the other. The difference immediately is between law and grace. The Pharisee is 100% correct by the law. The tax collector is 100% correct by grace. Maybe you've heard it a different way. One of them is experiencing his faith in his head. The other one is experiencing his faith in his heart. I have seen the transition happen in my own life and in others. Sometimes we, as the church, offer opportunity for people to step away, to discover the fullness of what God might be doing in their lives, to learn more deeply how God is moving within them and how he might be touching their hearts. That's happening right now in our diocese through a program called Curcio. Now, part of that program allows some of the people from the community to visit, in a way, which we were able to do last night, and you could just feel the very presence of God there. Not that we don't feel it everywhere, but we could just see in the eyes of those who had taken this time away, we could see the glory of God within them. We have another weekend coming up that we offer for our youth, a time for them to step away. And you think, well, why would kids need to step away? You know, from what, right? Well, we have a lot of folks here retired that tell me they're going on vacation. So think about that for a second. So our kids are somewhat bombarded in this world, aren't they? Everywhere they turn, it's something else. We choose not to listen to all of it because some of it's very new to us and we don't like it or understand it, or decide we don't need it. So we have an opportunity for our children to go away, our young people. So this weekend we'll have that same opportunity coming up for Happening. How many people have heard of Happening? How many people have been to Happening? How many people are going this weekend? Look, they're already smiling. Okay. Well, I'm going to say to you, pray for them. Pray that their time away will look like and perhaps feel like the many times I've been able to go away and listen to God, and maybe for you too. In that particular ministry many years ago, and it is becoming many years ago as I think about it, but I was on one of those weekends, a happening weekend. I was an adult. I've been a few times. I don't honestly know how many. I was not a priest at the time. And there's a time where there's a time of prayer. And each person has an opportunity, if they want, to be prayed for. And they were in small groups at this point. And it may be the same, but you'll find out. Let me know. Every time the person getting prayed for was sort of done being prayed for by their small group, this one young man in the group, who I knew, who was actually in my youth group at the time, got up and left. He'd go get a drink, he'd go into the bathroom, he'd do whatever he could do other than be sitting there faced with the concept of him potentially being next. And then as it kind of progressed through its time, he decided, I'm next. And you could just see the internal struggle. I mean, it was physical. You could see him there. He wanted to be there during the prayer. And then when it potentially could have been for him, he got up and he left. I mean, it was a physical thing. I was just watching his battle. And then I watched him sit down and I watched him begin to pray for him. And I thought, this is it. You know? Can't wait to see what happens next. And in the middle of that prayer, he jumped up, tears running down its face, and he ran out of the building. And of course, his small group and his leaders were thinking, just you go about your business, I'll handle it. This is kind of what I'm here for. So I followed him out of the building. He was down at Day Spring, what we used to call the New Pavilion, which was very old and is now gone. he was sitting on a picnic table, sobbing. He was in high school, if you want to know how young they were. And I come over to him, and he immediately looks up and he goes, I'm not sad. And I said, well, I'm glad to hear that. What's going on? This is real. Yes, this is real. He goes, no. Listen to me. This is real. Jesus is real. Tears for him and me at this point. He came to this place of understanding the difference between the Pharisee and the tax collector. He had come before God, and not only was God there before him, he discovered God was in him. Amen? It was real. Everything he had been told, everything he had heard, he now has experienced. Experienced the presence of God in his very life. He fought the battle. And you might say he won, but the reality is, brothers and sisters, he lost. Thanks be to God, he lost the battle. How many of us still are fighting the battle where we know this Jesus, we know him, and we pray, and sometimes come away thinking, is he here? And then there's times when we have fallen to our knees and we knew he was there. The question is, when we continue to walk through this journey of faith, what, brothers and sisters, is our foundation? Is it the law in our head, or is it the very presence of God in our hearts? We just heard it very clearly. I guess we could have just used our friend. What'd she say? Talking about superheroes. What is their strength? Where is it? Where is it? Yeah. We're strong when we know that Jesus is in our heart. That's where our strength comes from. We don't rely on ourselves. We're not confident in ourselves. That's something we do so other people think that about us. Right? Jesus is saying those who will be justified are the ones who can fall on their knees and with great confidence know that he is God and pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. That is where life changes. That is the place in which God moves and lives. The rest of it flows from there. If we tried to do the rest of it without that, it's empty. And it's exhausting, isn't it? We just keep working and working and working. Because we have no strength, we get tired. And I'm not saying that someone who's moving through the power of Jesus in their heart will not feel fatigued. You will. I promise. If you don't believe it, come to Trunk or Treat later. I'll be sleeping in a chair next to the truck. But I have to smile sometimes when I remember that moment when my faith moved from my head to my heart. And the first thing that God showed me, because I was already tired, I was already leading in the church. If you saw me standing and praying, I would have looked like the guy, had it all going on. But I was dying. I was so tired. I could barely move. And all I could think of is all these people around me. Some twice my age, some more. Doing twice the work I was doing, didn't seem to be tired at all. And the Lord showed me first, if I move by his strength, I can move boldly and I can move always. If I'm confident in myself, if I rely on myself, if I'm trusting in myself, I will go nowhere. Brothers and sisters, we are the third characters in the story today. The question we need to ask ourselves is this: is our foundation that like the Pharisee, where we just do what we're supposed to do when we're supposed to do it? Is our foundation like the tax collector? Are we willing to come, all of us, in our brokenness, our hurt, our sin, our pain, and our sorrow? Are we willing to come before God like that, pouring out our hearts to him and just simply saying, Lord God, have mercy on me, a sinner, so that he can pour his strength in, raise us up in our brokenness, and use us for his will? Where's your foundation? How do you move? By your own strength, or by the very power of God, your superpower in your heart? Amen.